Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much, and please continue to help spread the word that this show brings on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases, entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And remember, if you can't listen live, go to our website at answers.network, and you can browse through a variety of heartfelt and enlightened topics. I am confident that there will be something you will find to bring greater joy to your life. Now, I also have a favor to ask. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know can participate. This is positive influence in the world together. And I guarantee you, when you listen to this show, you will realize that we all know somebody that can benefit from this show. Now, our topic today is also the title of our guest's new book, Work Made Fun Gets Done, Easy Ways to Boost Energy, Morale, and Results. Now, if that isn't something we can all get behind, I'm not sure what is. We have two guests, one of which is Bob Nelson, PhD, and he is the president of Nelson Motivation Incorporated and the world's leading authority on employee recognition and engagement. He has published over 30 books that have sold over 5 million copies and have been translated in over 30 languages. He has presented on 6 continents and worked with thousands of organizations, including 80% of the Fortune 500 fellow for the Conference Board, a top thought leader for the Best Practices Institute, and has been named a leading global employee engagement influencer by EE Awards and a top 5 management guru by Global Gurus. And Mario Tamayo is principal of the Tamayo Group Incorporated, a no-nonsense, no-frills consulting firm specializing in leadership and organizational performance. TGI is widely known for using practical strategies that get positive results. With extensive experience in the human performance and organizational development field, Mario has been trained, he's been training. I think you had to be trained before you can start training other people.
Yeah, he's still training him.
But he's been training, coaching, and consulting with individuals and teams in leadership and communication skills since the late 70s. He was responsible for several successful organizations, including the Anthony Robbins Companies, Broadcom, General Dynamics, the Ken Blanchard Companies, Life Technologies, Petco, the U.S. Men's Olympic Volleyball Team, which, by the way, in 1984 won a gold medal, and many more. So, Bob, Mario, welcome to Answers Network.
Thanks for having us, Alan.
As I was kind of talking a little bit about in the beginning, if there was ever a time in which your book is needed, I believe it's now. I was watching a YouTube video where they were speaking with someone who has thousands of employees, and they were asking him the difference coming out of this pandemic. And he said the most difficult thing was that they planned for and anticipated losing 15% of their workforce. Instead, they lost 55%.
Wow.
And I mean, it shocked me. So I know that there are a lot of companies out there that are really struggling. I know when I even going to a restaurant and you go in and they'll go, all right, that'll be 30 minutes. And I look over and I go, you got 17 open tables.
Yeah.
They said, yeah, that's right. And if we just had employees, we'd be able to help everybody. So I'm guessing you started writing this book before the pandemic. So what inspired you to write this book?
Well, Mario and I have worked together for 34 years. We met at Disney World, so the happiest is topic. We've always had fun, and we've always felt this is part of the secret sauce that made companies great. We actually even were able to confirm that with research for the best places to work in America, the list that Fortune magazine publishes every year. And we looked at the data from that, and we found that of those companies on the list, their employees routinely report, 82% of them report that they work at a fun place. Mm-hmm. We compared that to companies that applied for the award but didn't receive it. And in that case, only 62% of employees said they worked in a fun place. So that 20-point differential is the biggest difference on their list of companies that make the list versus those that don't. Is, are they fun places? So you can be a good employer, you can pay people well, and people want and more than that today. To 75% of the workforce, that 59% of them expect to be having fun in the job that they do. So that's a lot of stats at you, but it all kind of, you know, became a perfect storm for people need this book. And we had a fun time putting it together. We did original research as well. We collected information from people all over the world, actually. And we have over 400 specific real-life strategies for how you can make your job more fun, the job you're doing with working with others more fun. And if you're a manager or a leader, how you can do stuff, or the company you work for can do stuff to make it a more fun work environment.
Yeah, just to add to that, you know, please. Think of a coin. It's two sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. Employees who are having the most fun are also the most productive, and the most, you know, it's not lost on the Deloitte consulting firm. They're calling the decade of the 2020s the decade for having fun at work.
So now I named quite a few companies that you guys have been involved with. Okay. They are very, very successful companies. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if fun can be successful and they're making money, why isn't everybody doing it?
Ah, great question. It has to do a lot with personality and the values from the very top. You know, some people believe, some top managers, some CEOs believe, hey, you get a paycheck. Mm-hmm. Why complain?
Have fun on your own time on the weekend.
It goes back to the way back when in the Industrial Revolution, when we hired people because we just needed physical. We needed them to move something. We needed their hands. And then some of the bright ideas. If we ask people to actually use their heads and think, they might be able to prevent problems and save us time, save us money. Right. So they were hiring hands and heads. And then in the last 20, 30 years, somebody got the bright idea. Hey, you know, we need to engage the entire individual here. We need to engage the meaning that they give to work and to their lives. So they said, we need to hire people because we honor their spirit as well. And we have a workplace that honors their spirit. So it was hiring head, heart, and hands. And the smart companies today are taking advantage of that.
And they need to, because right now, as we speak, there's 11.5 million job openings in America. 11.5 million, and people are still, the Great Resignation is still going very, very strong. And just so far this year, 28 million people left their job last year. So far this year, in January, 4.3 million, February, 4.3 million, March, 4.5 million, April, 4.5 million. So it's not slowing down. And it's a combination of people, they're not necessarily leaving the workforce. They're looking for a better job, and that's maybe for more pay, which tends to get the headlines. But right up there with it is that they want more purpose. They want to feel that they're in a job that makes a difference, where they can enjoy themselves and who they work with and who they're serving. That's not a chore. And so this is this silly topic is very relevant if you want to have the workers that you need to be successful.
In fact, some of the top people are saying, hey, if you're serious about performance, if you're serious about providing the great investment to your stockholders here, then we have to get serious about fun, which seems oxymoronic, but it's absolutely true.
Now, I think perfect sense, and by the fact, head and heart. And I know that in one of my businesses, and when we were speaking earlier, you mentioned my son Chase, and I'm so blessed that he has taken over one of my businesses that works with at-risk youth. And when people have asked me, how is it that you knew that, that would be a good fit for him or, whatever. And I said, well, he went and he did lots of jobs and he came back and said, Dad, my heart tells me that I want to do this. Mm-hmm. Wow. Because he said, I did other jobs and I wasn't making a difference. Mm-hmm. He says, I might've been making more money, but I wasn't making a difference. And which to me, that's when I knew, okay, it's time to groom him for taking over this business. and he's done a better job than I did in a short time. And part that we hired people that had the right heart for the job. And we needed people that needed certain physical tools to be able to, to do their job. And we needed that certain amount of intelligence to be able to do their job. But if they didn't have the right heart, they wouldn't be a good fit. And so I just love the fact that, what you're telling people is you need all three of these things to make things work. And then it also, obviously, if you can then make it fun, hey, I think you've got the right combination.
By the way, fun. What does fun mean? How do we define fun? That's one thing that Bob and I found really intriguing is we always thought fun was maybe what made people laugh. But what we found out was that what's fun for some is not necessarily fun for others. And some people have really, in our minds, they had some pretty weird definitions of fun, like just getting more work done. Mm-hmm. They'd go home and say, I got 5 more things accomplished today. Gosh, did I have fun today? Okay. Bob, tell them about your wife.
Yeah, she would say that. And I think that's encouraging because, I'd go so far as say, Mario, that every person that I talked to in researching the book had a different definition of fun. And for some people, it was listening to music while they were working. For others, it was being able to engage, to bring their true self. You mentioned having a purpose. I think everyone wants to be part of something larger than themselves. So we all need to make money to pay our bills, but once we're able to pay our bills, people look to a larger meaning and connection with the people they're spending the bulk of their waking hours.
By the way, one thing that we're probably not going to see anymore is getting at Bob's point about how you're spending your waking hours. Also, how are you spending your driving hours that are 2 hours long each way? That's just not going to happen anymore.
Yeah. So right now, like we're talking about, people on top saying, well, this is, we're paying you, so you got to do what we say. And right now the trend is you got to come back to the office. And even though people are saying, why, because that's where the building is, that's where we get together. It's like, why do we do that? Because we've always done it. Well, do we have to do it going forward? And if, a surprising number of employees that have been able to work from home successfully say if their manager of their company forces them to come to the office, they will just quit and find another job. And it's not that hard when you've got 11 and a half million job openings right now. So you could force people and win the day, but you'll lose them because they're going to say, it's silly. So maybe to come once to be there every day and to be in the commute every day, I think that's over for most employees.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that falls under the category of working smarter. Mm-hmm. Is the not making that drive. And interestingly enough, as we're doing this podcast, because you guys are also in California.
You're driving.
The studio was in Sherman Oaks.
Yeah.
And I'm in Huntington Beach. And so every Monday I made that drive. Ooh. And it's about 2 hours with traffic each way.
Wow.
And I didn't think about it because I just, I listened to podcasts. So I would just put those on and I would get all pumped up and stuff to do the show. And I really didn't think about it. And then COVID hit, and then the engineer and the owner of the station, who you spoke to earlier, said that a whole bunch of us that were podcasters, they all said, you know what? During there, I set up a room in my house. I got this all set up in my house. I don't need to do that anymore. And I feel so much more productive because I don't have the 2 hours each way, because I used to look at Mondays as a shot day because, you know, hey, I was going to be on the road for 4 hours.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that your listeners, I assume you have C-suiters that listen in regularly. It's they got to realize that, and it's Bob coaches this one guy, and he's pretty famous for saying, you know, what got us here is not going to get us there. And it's like business as usual is completely over.
We all have to pivot with the times. And so in the office, because we have the office, and say, well, have you thought about subleasing? Have you thought about working out the lease, you know, because it's working. We've proven it's working, and it's not going to happen. I've got my son, actually, both my kids, my son works at a company that has 100% virtual. So there's no office to go into. My daughter works for, is a complete virtual employee. I just saw her this last week in San Francisco, and they have an office in town, but she's never been there. There's no reason to, because she does all her work on the phone and on Zoom with clients, and they're very happy with their work. So didn't feel a need to go into the office. Mm-hmm. I think not everyone can do that, but if you have the skills and you can do it from remotely, you're expanding the footprint for most companies as well, because they're not just hiring from their immediate community, they're hiring more regionally, more nationally, maybe even internationally. There's an incredible amount of work that is going to where people can most effectively do it.
Well, with this in mind, I mean, tell us a few of some of the innovative and creative ways that businesses have amplified their culture and to where it's greatly increased their productivity, and things that some of our viewers or listeners can adapt to their own businesses.
Well, I mentioned music, for example, and mm-hmm. so younger generation, a lot of times they love using ear pods, and let them do that. What the heck? I interviewed a woman in LA who said that whenever she wants to feel more mean, whatever for free, Yo-Yo Ma did a concert for 8,000 people, 3-hour concert from memory. And it's just you feel like God's moving through his hands, and mm-hmm. whatever you're working on and listening to that, you have the same feeling that you're doing purposeful work. I got off the phone and I tried it, and she was right, you know. So tricks of the trade on how to keep things light and easy for you, to make if you have tasks that you do that are boring and rote, and we all have stuff like that in what we do, and then make a game of it. See how fast you can do it, but put a timer on is another quick trick to see how quickly you can get it done, and you'll surprise yourself.
And give yourself a reward, something that you normally wouldn't do. Go ahead and do that. I'll tell you one thing that a lot of organizations are doing is they're encouraging their folks to bring their pets to work. Mm. And that's a huge thing. And Bob just sent me some of the latest data on that. But you'd be surprised how many people, especially the younger folks today, how many of them say, "Hey, if you don't let me bring my pet to work, I'm quitting the company."
Wow.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how many people include their animals on their Zoom calls. Even CEOs and even presidents of companies, they're putting their lap dog on their lap as they're having a meeting.
In fact, Mario often has his dog in his office with him. Is he there today?
She's right behind my monitor.
Yeah.
One
I was
going
to say that, you know, as you were saying that, I was thinking, well, that adds whole new meaning to the term lapdog.
Exactly. You know, one thing I wanted to point out in this book, there are over, as Bob says, there are over 400 ideas in here. They're real world, real company, both private and public, set up for things that people can do individually, things teams can do, things that managers can do, and things that the entire organization can do. And most of the ideas in here are either at low cost or no cost. So the big the big return on this is you're just taking tapping into people's spirit and their energy, and they take it wherever they're going to need they need to take it. And the beneficiary is the individual, it's the people they work with, it's the company, it's the investors, and it's the families of people when they go back home.
Okay. Well, you mentioned music earlier, so let me take that as an example, because I have a feeling that there are viewers or listeners out there that are thinking about this and going, okay, but what about the different type of music or different things like that? In other words, how do you draw a line from somebody that decides that they're going to have, that they're going to, that they play something in their head that is rather destructive versus something that you mentioned already that is so positive? Mm-hmm. I think you're going to run into situations to where somebody's like, okay, well, you're discriminating against me because I can't play this type of music. And
here's some earphones. Play what you want to play. I don't care, you know. So we're not talking about broadcasting from your desk. We're talking about being subtle. Or there's other, there's a unlimited number of techniques is what we found. And so this tries something that I feel is fun for our work group. And next time you could try something that you feel is fun. Like we're all on Zoom these days. And it's like, well, what can you do on Zoom? Well, a fun thing you can do on Zoom, if you've never tried it, is a praise barrage. And that's where you say, hey, before we dig into our agenda here, let's just go around our group. And as I call out someone's name, I like everyone else to say what they most value about working with that person. 100% positive. Let's start with Tony, and then Sally, and then Sam. And 10 minutes later, what have you done? Everyone has gotten positive, specific feedback from those people that they work with. You're going to bring the group tighter together. You're going to improve relationships, and everyone's going to feel good about themselves. And whatever they were called out for, I guarantee you they're going to do an even better job at those things. So if you say, well, Sam, you're so good at summarizing where we've been to and what the next action steps are. Well, Sam's going to be all over it now because you just validated him. And what gets recognized gets repeated. It's a fact.
I want to circle back to Alan, what you just mentioned about the music, though. A lot of the organizations, they actually have their own quote unquote department radio station and decide what they're going to do. And usually they survey people within their units and they say, tell us what music you'd like to hear. And they might have different hours, so to speak, for people to listen to different type of music. Some of it is like a traditional radio station where they bounce back and forth from different things. But you bring up a good point, because one of the things we learned was when you provide these opportunities to people, you want to make sure that people find them safe, they find them fun, they find them valuable, and they don't find them hurtful. You know, one of the things that Bob and I do not recommend is people doing pranks. You know, we do not believe those things work at all. And bad music or negative music can fall under that, can get into that area there where it can be hurtful to people. And so when people say, you know, they give feedback, you know, that wasn't so cool. Can we do something differently there? And they generally will. Because they're not nobody goes to work to say, I can't wait to piss people off when I get to work.
Well, maybe a few, but.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I've run into a few people. But.
I got to tell you, my wife's a computer scientist, and she at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, she'll put on internet, there's this guy that does a five-minute dance jam. He just goes nuts for like 5 minutes. You can't help but get the energy from him. And so if where there's a will, there's a way. And we're just trying to give people permission to do something that's going to make your life a little bit more fun, where you're spending the bulk of your waking hours, and more times than not, it's going to spark someone else to say, hey, that was kind of fun, and they'll do something different, and pretty soon you're going to be a funner place to work.
Yeah, and it's really important, because we find that those people individuals who said, here's what I think is fun and this is what I'm going to have people do, it doesn't work so well. You know, Bob, you had that friend who's a CEO of the company that wanted to do a golf tournament. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah, for him it was fun because he golfed, you know, a couple times a week. But for everyone else, they were all of a sudden in a panic because what do I wear? And I'm gonna look silly on the golf course. And you can't force fun on other people. You know, now to his credit, he set it up as a scramble where they had teams, a team sport.
The best ball scramble.
Yeah. And then everyone took a shot and then we played the best shot. So it was kind of, we had to strategize together who's better at putting, you know, that type of thing. So there's things that you can always do to make a team building, a group element out of whatever activity you're doing. But another example that we have in the book, I got from a CEO. He said, we do a couple things each year for, you know, for the whole company. And he said, no matter what I picked, more people seem to be dissatisfied than happy with it. And people would complain and, you know, I got to get a babysitter or whatever. And finally he had another executive do it, same results. And finally he kept trying to force fun on the group. We have to do this to be a company, you know. And he said, hey, he got a millennial said, hey, would you take a track, you know, try it out? And yeah, I'd love to. And he used social media tools and he surveyed people and brainstormed people voted. And then he scheduled it and they did something they never did before. It was a huge hit. They ended up doing they went to one of these pirate shows where they saw, you know, not pirates, but a jousting, a tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And people got turkey legs, and the kids loved it. The families loved it. It was a home run anymore. But my wife was working at a company here in town, and she came home and said, yeah, we're doing a Christmas party. We're going to do a buffet and at this place. And I go, really? You know, we could do a better job than that. And she went back and told them, and they said, okay, you guys do it. Okay, yeah. Game on. And we cleared out all the furniture in our house.
He didn't tell me that.
We did a casino night.
There you go.
And it was a blast. You know, we had, instead of a sit down dinner, we had snacks and hors d'oeuvres and, you know, people had fun. We had two out of every three people that came got a door prize. We asked all the executives to donate things. It was, they had such a great time. They asked us to do it the next year as well.
Now, something similar to that is also in the book, you got a lot of companies that say, you know what we're going to do is, we're going to allow people to choose what charity they want us to volunteer at. And so people go and they build a house and have it for you. Yeah, we have.
It's a lot of fun. And you get to meet the people you're helping and you get to learn some stuff. Mario can build a house by himself, I can tell you. But, you know, it's just interesting because you do that. Then you open up your interest to what other people are interested in. And you all benefit from it, but you all become more tightly, you work together. You become more of a team because you're learning about each other and where you have things that are in common. And a simple activity I do inside companies, and I've done this in groups with people who have worked together side by side for 10 years. I say, hey, let's just take a few minutes and go around the group. Everyone share two things they like to do when they're not at work. That's the activity. Two things. Mm-hmm. And 10 minutes later, it's like, I had no idea you had a garden. I've got a garden, you know, and you're making connections. And you raise German Shepherds. I raise German Shepherds, you know, and you're building a stronger team. And people, it's more enjoyable. Now it's not just work. It's work and connecting with people that are like-minded. And all of a sudden, you've created a community.
All right. Well, for everybody out there, if you're just tuning in, you're probably saying, wow, they're having fun. Well, guess what? Their book is called Work Made Fun Gets Done, with easy ways to boost energy, morale, and results. We're going to take a break, but we'll be right back. And when we come back, guys, I'd like you to share a little bit about rewards. I know you talk about it in your book, but share some of the benefits or sometimes pitfalls of rewards. So for everybody, stay with us. You're listening to or watching Answers Network.
Thanks, Alan.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services and West Shield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers Network, and we are talking about making work fun. So, gentlemen, in regards to rewards, talk a little bit about how that can be a really great thing and sometimes how it can maybe not turn out so well.
You know, I did my doctoral dissertation on this very topic. Why do some managers reward and recognize their employees and other managers do not? I spent 3 years taking a deep dive on answering that question because we know it. We know it's important. We know it works. 67% of today's employees say that that if they were thanked for doing a good job, they would do a better job going forward. And it becomes a glue to help hold people into the job, into the company. So it's literally all over the map what you can do to thank people. And ironically, the most powerful things are the things that don't cost any money. So a simple thank you for a job well done in a timely, specific manner, in asking people for their opinions, two-way communication, involving people in decisions when you make them. And if someone makes a mistake, you can, you know, berate them in front of their peers. What good is that going to do? You know, instead, take a breath and say, I'm not sure I would have done it the same way, but what did you learn from that? And celebrate the fact that they just got a year's worth of training. In fact, Mario, that happened with you and I when we were working at a company.
I thought you weren't going to bring that up anymore. Oh, God. Tell them about it, Bob.
Oh, okay. Well, no, you tell them.
No, you tell
them. Well, Mario, okay. Mario was working for me. No, really, you tell them.
When I started working for Bob, this was back in 1989, and Bob was VP of product development for the Ken Blanchard companies. And I came in, and one of my first tasks was to produce a product. It was a leadership assessment. And I thought I did a great job on it. And they came back, and somebody pointed out there was a typo on it. And we had printed 10,000 copies of it. And the typo was the word manger. Oh. And you know, this was back in the day when the spell check was just coming out, the electronic spell check. So I only relied on spell check to pick up all those problems. And manger is a word. If you go back 2,000 years, you'll probably hear about a manger someplace. But we found the mistake. Instead of manager, it was manger.
Manger.
All over the place. And instead of berating me, Bob says, you know, Mario, that's really interesting. He says, just think of it this way, Mario. We just spent $10,000 on your training. And I thought –
made that mistake again.
I never made that mistake again. Because he fired me. No.
No, that's – well, actually, that's the thing. It's like I made a long-term commitment in a person, in a relationship. That if I did fire him, I wouldn't know him now, and he wouldn't have learned anything, and you know, I'd have to go get someone else that probably would make more mistakes. So, yeah, it's worth developing people and taking time to thank them is the best way.
Exactly. Now,
most
one of the things
occurs on the job.
One of the things we learned during that time was in the U.S. businesses. That there are four times as much negative feedback than there is positive feedback. And what we did, we realized we need to flip that.
Yep.
We need to give four times as much praise. We need to catch people doing things right, as Ken Blanchard used to say, but also catch people doing things approximately right, especially when they're new like I was. Because you don't want to reprimand a new person. You want to redirect them. And that's what Bob did with me. And it just made me more motivated to fix a job and to do better the next time.
And Mario, actually, that research Gallup organization updated. It's actually 6-1 now.
It's getting worse.
6-1, and it's because we're in stressful times, and things are moving faster, and it's easier to make mistakes, and so we have to be more intentional in reinforcing, thanking, acknowledging people for the progress they make, to make that more the norm, and to inspire other people to likewise. Try harder to get the results that we need. Yeah. You can't command people to higher performance. you commit, if someone walks in the room with a gun, we're going to do whatever they say. But for most of life, you nurture higher performance. You nurture people to be better, and you try to set the example yourself. And you do that through praise and thanks and acknowledgement.
Now, What's key here is Bob mentioned earlier, sometimes a thank you is the best recognition you can give somebody, as long as it's genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's key for everything. When you praise somebody, when you recognize them, because people can see through that and see that, oh, they're manipulating me. But if you're really looking at the person from their best interests and how we can help them, then they're going to see that, they're going to feel it, and they're going to do what I did with Bob, which was, I want to work harder. I want to work better.
So when you do a praise, it's a 10-second activity, but most people have never gotten any training in doing it. You want to do it as soon as possible when you see the desired behavior performance. The sooner you recognize it, the more you reinforce it. You want to be specific. Don't talk in generalities. So we've all seen managers that come in, everyone's doing a great job. Unless you hear otherwise, you're doing a great job. That doesn't do much. It's got to be personal. This is why so much recognition is out of sync these days, because years of service or the holiday party doesn't make anyone individually feel special unless you call them out in the meeting. So you want to everyone's the star in their own play, and so you've got to zero in on them. And as a job of a leader today is to make that highest priority. If you're managing people, you're in charge of their motivation. And it's not just giving them tasks to do, it's developing them to do that better. Peter Drucker used to define management as getting the work done through others. So it's not being a super worker. It's not finding fault with everybody. It's not taking work back and doing it yourself. It's getting the work done through them, which means really being a servant manager and saying, how can I help you? Where are you stuck? How can we talk this through? But how can I help you get the job done? How can I help you do a better job? And you should be actively asking that question every day, because their success is going to determine your success.
Yeah. Again, I couldn't agree more. I had so many wonderful thoughts as you were going through that. One of which was many years ago, and I'm actually on the cover of a book from Kamehameha Schools. And because I did a training on catch them doing something good.
There you go.
And I had started it with a kindergarten class.
Yeah.
And we focused on, if something started happening and a teacher is trying to get, all the kids to go up front, and then, but Johnny's in the back playing with Play-Doh or something like that, that to focus on Johnny becomes counterproductive, because now all the kids are looking at what Johnny's doing. So instead of doing that, focus on the 6 kids that are in the front row that did exactly what they were told, to come forward, sit, cross your legs, and open your book. Mm-hmm. And just bring attention to them and go, wow, Betty and Kathy and Billy and Sam, you guys are doing great. And don't draw the attention to that, and focus on something good.
I think
that's it's so powerful. And I believe that we need to start at a very, very young age.
Absolutely.
I couldn't agree more. And I got to tell you, from my doctoral work, I did one of my first books. It was called, Mario just held it up, called 1,001 Ways to Reward Employees. And now it got expanded edition, 1,501 Ways to Reward Employees. These are all 100% real examples that people are doing right now. And this book came out 25 years ago. It's now in its 64th printing, has sold over 2 million copies. So this kernel of truth that we're on is big. It's very important. It works in every single relationship in your life. You mentioned kids, we mentioned employees. If you're married, it works with your spouse. You know, Zig Ziglar used to say, if you want, treat your wife like a thoroughbred and she'll never be a nag.
Hey, you're not. You can't say that stuff anymore.
But it's really true. You get in every relationship you're in, even with your neighbor or with someone at church or something. You get out of the relationship what you put into it. If you put good things into it, positive things, encouraging things, you can get that back from them. You can have a better relationship. It's gonna be more fulfilling for both of you. Mm-hmm. It's a simple thing, but common sense, but not unfortunately common practice, especially. Okay, so. Today with social media and speed of business and et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. So, and I know the book covers a lot of the stuff in regards to retention, in regards to improve productivity and all of those things. How can we hire smarter?
I'll tell you one way is you make sure that the people who you're talking with to consider as candidates, you make sure that they can explain to you how their personal values, what their personal values are, and how they might align with your company values, and give and ask them for specific examples of how they've demonstrated this kind of stuff, and ask them about how they are, what they're like, what we can expect when the going gets tough. And what they really value and what they want to get out. So go ahead. Bob.
What Mario's saying is you want to hire for a good fit, not just for a warm body. You can do the job. You want to hire for someone that actually will mesh with the people you have and with what you're trying to get done long term and the value and who you're serving, the customer of the organization. If you take if you take that into focus, you'll end up with a better hire, which is really hard now because if you're short staffed, it's like first warm body. Yeah, okay, we'll hire you. Jack Welch at GE was famous for saying that you want to hire slowly. And then if someone's not working out, fire quickly. So once you see, once someone has shown their stripes and they don't fit in, you want to wrap it up as soon as possible and get them to move on. Take your time to hire the right candidate. At IBM, they call it the $1 million decision because on average, they would spend at least that on the person. Yeah. So they impressed on their management that when you're hiring, I don't care who you're hiring, you know, treat it like a $1 million decision because that's what it's going to end up costing us.
It's hard. It's really hard, if not impossible, to change somebody's core beliefs and core values.
Change their stripes of who they are.
It's got to take a significant emotional event. I mean, a real serious one, if that's even going to happen. So people usually hire because somebody's shown they can make the numbers. They got the technical skills, but that's only half the equation. The total performance model is not only can they hit the numbers and are they technically proficient, but it's also how well do they demonstrate the core values of the organization. And you can throw that on a matrix, and you want to make sure you're hiring somebody who's in alignment with what you're doing and has the potential or shown they can get the numbers. Because so many companies are hurt because they try to keep people on board that are making the sales. But they're a big cancer in the organization. They're causing too many people to leave.
Yeah. Or whatever the technical area is. Often people are promoted for technical excellence. So it could be sales. It could be IT. It could be technical work on a machine. They're often promoted for that. But once you're in the job as a manager, the skill set shifts very quickly. It's got to be more focused on the softer skills, interpersonal skills, that's going to make you successful. And some managers unfortunately, a lot of managers don't have an orientation when they take that job. But a lot of times the knee-jerk reaction is to be a super worker and do what they were doing, but now be the smartest person in the room. And it can go south pretty quick if you take that tack.
Well, gentlemen, we've got about three more minutes. Time has flown by, and part of that reason is because we've been having fun. but the what would you – so, again, if you're speaking to some employers out there, some managers and stuff, what are the things – what are the takeaways? And, again, one of the things is they can go out to get the book and they can get, you know, a variety of different techniques. What's a couple of things that they can do right away that's going to show a difference as quickly as possible?
Well, you can start immediately by focusing on the positive of catching people doing things right. So that's a first step to make that do it consistently. So that becomes part of your behavior as a leader, and then part of your group's behavior, and ultimately part of the culture of the organization as you get other leaders to do it. If you truly get a culture of recognition going, research indicates your employees will be 7 times more likely to stay working in the organization for their career. So it's a huge payoff. It doesn't happen overnight, but it starts with maybe you. I've worked with a lot of companies where one person changed the organization. I'll just tell this story real quick. I was working with the company in Seattle, or I was up speaking in Seattle to 800 people, and this person in the front row, I go, "You look really familiar." She goes, "Yeah, I heard you speak 6 weeks ago." And I had to come tell you what happened. I go, "Well, what happened?" She goes, I left your presentation saying, "This is real. I'm doing it. I'm not asking permission. I'm going to make this happen in my work group." And I go, "Well, great. What'd you do?" She goes, "Well, we did all sorts of things. Like what?" She said, "Well, we held a picnic on top of the roof to celebrate a success we had, and we bartered meeting space with the company on the next block that needed it for they did limo rides, and now we got limo rides we can use, and we just were very thrifty, and we came up with ways to thank and acknowledge people, and it worked like a charm. There became a buzz in their department. Other managers saying, 'What are you doing with your group? They're on fire!' And, 'Hey, come to the next meeting.' And wouldn't you know it took off." I wrote them up as the best practice, and fast forward, it was like I think 18 months total from that first conversation. That company, Perkins Coie, a law firm, if you can imagine, entered the best places to work in America, number 23 on the list. Wow. One person triggered that change. And anyone listening could be that one person.
Okay. We've got a comment coming in. I want to get this in before we run out of time.
Okay.
So this comes in, and again, I thank those that send these in. It says, "I started my company of bottled oils, herbs, and other items in 2005. We run our company and very words into it."
We want to know about this person.
Well, you know them?
No. We want to get contact information with this person.
Oh, gotcha. It says we are actually a growing business because of my staff. Two of our long timers gathered everyone together, and they executed an amazing plan to promote the company on all of their social media. I could go on and on about a variety of things, but suffice to say, it caught on like wildfire. I ordered your book to learn even more and to share it with other small businesses in our chamber group. Our communities must embrace these concepts now more than ever if we're to survive against the Amazons and eBays of the world." This is from Janine in Colorado.
Okay, just full disclosure here, she's my aunt. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But what she said there is extremely important. Thank you for getting the book there, Janine. But what I think people can do is get the book next meeting and have each person go through an initial
pass it around
that they would like to do that they consider fun. And when you get it back after a couple of minutes, now you have your menu of things to do that people are really going to value.
So you're personalizing the book to your immediate team.
Yeah.
And it's not a book. You don't have to guess. You can go see what would really make someone have.
It's not a book that you read straight through. It's a reference book. You just read the intro sections, and then you go to the areas that you're really interested to improve or you have a situation there. And by the way, you can open up to any page, and if you don't find a great idea that'll fit you, just turn the page because you're most likely to see it on the next page.
I love that. And that gentlemen, I wish we had so much more time. Where are the best places they can find the book? What's the best way they can get in touch with you?
You know, Alan, the best place, we don't do this for everyone, but if you have a listener, we'll send it to them with our compliments.
Oh,
and for that woman that just shared
and that last
that example.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd love to send her 1,501 ways to reward employees because she's on the right track. I want to encourage that to keep going.
And we want her example to appear on the next book.
And my email address is bob@drbobnelson.com. That's drbobnelson.com. So we extend that to your listeners, Alan, because we've had a great time, and we've only done this a couple times in the I don't know 100 podcasts we've done, Mario. But
seems like
this is the type of show that we really want to be supportive of.
The book just came out a year ago, almost to the date.
Okay, and again, first of all, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And as we all people out there to take that down. If you go to the answers.network, I'll make sure that we have that email. If that's okay with you, Bob, I'll put your email on there.
Absolutely. And my website, where I have all my books at discounted prices, cheaper than Amazon, is www.drbobnelson.com. So drbobnelson.com. And I've got an online bookstore there, and I've got, I'd say it's about 20 of my most recent books are on there.
That's great. And Mario, how do we get in touch?
I'm available through Dr. Bob.
We also do consulting together, and we companies bring us in, and whether it's to do a one meeting session to make a fun session or to light their fire on the importance of this concept for their leaders or
change a culture.
Culture. And we best to leave them with the tools to keep it going.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. And for everybody out there, please go to the website, go to their site, pick up the book. And for everybody, just be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
Here. Apply this to anywhere it hurts. It'll reduce your physical pain.
Thank you, Sensei. What about the emotional pain?
We'll learn to block a slap.
You don't spar with the Sensei.
Marty's Cobra Cove has no mercy on him.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.